We are joined on the line by Maulana Ibrahim Abam. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners of Radio Islam.
How is Maulana doing this morning?
Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has been kind, and may Allah continue His favors upon us, inshaAllah.
Ameen, ameen. Maulana, this morning on the social program, interesting topic that we are discussing, judging and regarding ourselves superior to others.
Yes, and a very important question, because we are living in a world where somehow or the other we get involved in judging others, we get people in judging others, and of course this whole particular judgmental attitude seems to have dotted the social landscape of our community. And we feel that it's important for us to speak about what is the proper Islamic guidance in this particular regard.
So to the listeners, that is our topic for this morning. You can share with us your thoughts on it as well. Let us know on 072-786-1548. Now, when it comes to judging people and regarding ourselves superior to others, it's often where we compare ourselves to them and we feel that we're better than them. We often think that we're in a better situation than them, or we are more biased than them. But in the teachings of Islam, this should not be done.
Yes, I think first of all, let us start off with this, that Allah Ta'ala has completed our deen. So the deen is complete, and Allah hasn't left definitions of right and wrong, good and bad, vice and virtue, undecided. It has been cleared. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. Allah Ta'ala says, أكملت, I have completed and perfected deen, and I have chosen Islam as a way of life. Now, no one can change deen. No one can change. No Imam, no Sheikh al-Hadith, no Imam or any Maulana or any professor or any academic can change deen. And of course, from time to time, you get these type of calls made that we need to re-look at deen. No, we cannot change. We cannot add or subtract on deen. Right and wrongs are not personal judgments in Islam or relative to personal beliefs, but are dictated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if anyone does a wrong act, we have the right to determine the act to be wrong. We have the A person is reading five times daily salat. We can say this particular person reading five times daily salat, he is doing a correct act with regard to reading five times daily salat. If he's not reading daily five times salat, that act of his is wrong. For him not to read five times daily salat is wrong. It is against the Sharia. If a person commits and does an act of fraud, fraudulently takes cards, fraudulently makes and by, you know, makes certificates, it is wrong. Right? That is determined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? If a person, for example, commits immorality, it is wrong. You can call it out to be wrong. Right? Sometimes there could be a situation where a person's deed is not clear. Right? In such a situation, it's better to have a favorable opinion. Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala had said, لا تزنن بكلمة خرجت من أخيك المسلم إلا خيرا. Right? Do not, if, as far as any word that comes from your brother that he has spoken or has done, as much as possible, find a good or a good interpretation with regard to it. Right? And how one of our great earlier Muslims, Hamdun al-Qassar, had said, if a friend amongst your friends errs, makes 70 excuses for them. If your heart is unable to do so, then know that there is shortcomings in your own self. Right? So one is, you call an act wrong. Someone is doing something wrong, it is wrong. Someone is looking and gazing at another person, opposite sex, it is wrong. Right? Having said that, while we can say a person's action is wrong, we cannot, because of that, judge a person, labeling him, saying that because he has done five times daily salat, he is going to Jannah necessarily. Or he is not reading salat, he is going to Jahannam. Right? Or we cannot determine the success and failure of a person because of that and regard ourselves as superior to another. You know, and our colleague Hazrat Maulana Sulaiman Mullah, you know, made mention that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was asked, when will I know that I am a good person? And she replied, when you truly believe that you are a bad person. And when will I know when I'm bad? The questioner asked, and she replied, when you regard yourself as pious. So while we can determine act to be right and wrong, because Sharia is complete, because of that, we cannot determine a person to be a Jahannami. We cannot determine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put him in Jahannam, or we are better than him. So that is a very important distinction that we have to keep in mind.
That's so true, Ma, that lovely points that Maulana mentioned there, especially the one that when a person errs, then we should find excuses for them, that perhaps they had to do it because of this or whatever the reason may be. It's said that in today's time, Maulana, a person will do a good action and we'll find excuses as to why that action is not accepted in the court of Allah.
Yes, and that's unfortunate, yes. And in this particular regard, the first thing we must do is we take a person for the parent, right? So we cannot judge the iman of a person or say that a person who is saying he's a Muslim, he is not sincere in accepting Islam or proclaiming iman. Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu's very, very famous incident, which is made mention in the books of Tafsir and all of this, that Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu was an Ansari, was partaking in an expedition, in a jihad, when they were fighting against the enemy, and one enemy fled from the battlefield. They surrounded him, he came to a tree, and then when they surrounded him, he recited the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The Ansari pulled back. Usama bin Zayd looked at the situation, and of course, if you look at the situation, apparently it seems that the person who is doing it, he's doing it to save his life, because he was fighting against a Muslim, fighting against Islam. Now he is surrounded, he reading the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Using that particular basis, Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala an killed him, you know, because he felt it was part of jihad, it was part of the war. And when they came back, the matter came to our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, oh Usama, did you kill a person after he said the kalima? Did you kill a person after he said the kalima? How will you answer to the kalima on the day of judgment? You know? And he said, Ya Rasulullah, he did it to perhaps save his life. You know? That's what it apparently seemed. That's how it looked like. He was fighting, and then when he was surrounded, then he read. Right? So Nabi Karim Sawasim said, Fahalla shakakta kalba. Why did you open his heart, O Usama? Did you open his heart to see with what intention he is reading the kalima? And, you know, this is something that once a person says he's a Muslim, we are obliged to accept him as a Muslim, unless he says something that is, or he does something that is against, which constitutes kufr. Otherwise, we are obliged to accept him. If he says, I'm a Muslim, then we are obliged to accept him as a Muslim. Now, in today's time, Maulana, the manifestation of this is, someone gets married to someone from another faith, becomes a Muslim. Now we say they became Muslims for this and this reason. We are not, we got no right to say that. When the person becomes a Muslim, recites the kalima, unless he doesn't do something that is against the fundamental beliefs of Islam, regards himself as a Muslim, even if he doesn't practice 100%, right, we are obliged to accept him as a Muslim and not judge the intention. Leave the intention to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I think this is one thing that we have to keep in mind with regard to what the situation is. We cannot judge the iman of a person or say that a person is not sincere in accepting or proclaiming his iman. We accept on the basis of the apparent. unless the parent shows otherwise.
To the listeners, interact with us, 072-786-1548. We are speaking about judging and regarding ourselves superior to others. Share with us your thoughts. Perhaps you've been in a situation where people have judged you, and how did you respond? Or perhaps you found yourself in a situation where you made a judgment about someone else and it came out to be something other than that. So share with us your stories, 072-786-1548. The lines will also be open on 011-854-1548. Marana, you can continue.
Yes, another thing is with regarding ourselves superior. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran, such a beautiful verse in Surah Al-Najm, "Huwa a'lamu bikum." Allah says, "I know you very well." "Idh ansha'akum min al-ard," when you were in the earth, when the particles that made up the nourishing aspects that led to your developing that, those particular strengths that you had as a male to pass it on to a female. Allah knows you then. وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. Allah knows you when you were in the wombs of your mother. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. When Allah knows you so well, don't ever ascribe piety to yourself. Don't ascribe purity to yourself. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ. Allah knows well who is pious, who has taqwa, who has more better than another. Allah knows. So when Allah knows, don't you try to tell people you are more pious than others. Allah knows it. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi and Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi has also written something very similar. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, "I don't regard myself superior to the people whom I'm speaking to," when he's giving a talk, "because I don't know my taqwa, I don't know my piety." And on a one-to-one basis, very, very important, on a one-to-one basis, I do not regard myself superior to another non-Muslim. Now, the reason for this is very important. Let us understand this. We can say generally, believers and a mu'min is better than a disbeliever. We can say that. A disbeliever is not equal to a believer. That we can say. But on a one-to-one, I can't say I'm better than this person, because we don't, إِنَّمَا الْعِبْرَةُ بِالْخَوَاتِمِ. Allah is going to judge us according to our last action, and we don't know what our last action will be. Allah could, and Imam Ghazali says that a person who is regarding yourself superior, who is a non-Muslim, who is a disbeliever, Allah could give him hidayat. And Allah Ta'ala can take hidayat away from you. Allah Ta'ala protect. Therefore, we are supposed to read, "Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma." Frequently, "O Allah, do not swerve my heart after you have given it hidayat." "Allahumma thabbitna ala al-iman." "O Allah, keep us steadfast upon iman." How many times we heard our elders and our elderly people telling us, "Dua karo Allah Ta'ala, iman na upar khatmo nasib kare." "O Allah, give us, our death upon iman," because we don't know. So you don't know, you can't regard yourself superior to another on a one-to-one basis. You can say generally, believers are better than disbelievers. A Muslim is better than a person who is not a Muslim. We can say that. We've got the right to say that. We believe in that. But on the other hand, on a one-to-one basis, you can't say I'm superior to him, because you don't know what's your end going to be and what's his end going to be. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said in a hadith, sometimes there's a situation, a person does so much good deeds, it seems as if there is one span between him and Jannah. One span, because he has done so much good deeds. Allah Ta'ala takes away hidayat. We can't do good deeds until Allah Ta'ala gives us hidayat. Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq, and he becomes among the inmates of Jahannam. Sometimes the person does so much evil, he is so much in kufr, and he is on the verge of entering into Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala gives him hidayat, and he becomes a Muslim. So who are we to discuss and decide, I'm doing better than another person? Allah Ta'ala can give him hidayat, Allah Ta'ala can take away hidayat, may Allah Ta'ala protect us all. So on a one-to-one basis, we can't even regard ourselves superior to another person. Sometimes you find it surprising that people do have this particular type of attitude, which from this ayat in Surah Al-Najm is not correct.
9:30 on the social program with Maulana Ibrahim Obama. The topic that we are discussing this week, judging and regarding ourselves superior to others. The lines are open. We are taking your WhatsApp messages as well. We're going to break for a short ad break. When we come back, we'll continue with this discussion. This is the social program with Maulana Ibrahim Baham. And this week we are speaking about judging and regarding ourselves superior to others. Messages that have come through. Maulana, the first one you're saying that sadly we live in a time where we don't understand the difference between an opinion and a judgment. Sometimes people share their opinions, but instead of sharing their opinions, they make a judgment on other people.
I think that's so relevant. Really, it is something that is extremely relevant, and it's true. Sometimes you make an opinion, and also with regard to it, you know, there is this so many incidents with regard to not taking that superior attitude. Mufti Taqi Usmani, in his book Tarashe, has written about a pious person whose son got into the habit of reading Tahajjud. And one day he got up for Tahajjud, and after reading Tahajjud, he got up and he said, when he got up in the morning, look at all of these people, they're not getting up for Tahajjud. Right? So his father told him a word which is so beautiful. Oh, my son, Ya Bunaya, an abita na'iman wa azbaha nadiman. If you would have slept and not get up for Tahajjud and got up with a regret that you didn't get up for Tahajjud, was better for you than to get up wa azbaha mu'jiban, and for you to read Tahajjud and get up with pride over others. Would have been better for you to sleep and then have a regret that I didn't read Tahajjud, than to read Tahajjud and get up and feel that I am better than others. You know, Abu Talib al-Makki reports that Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi said, I was deprived of Tahajjud prayers for 5 months because of a sin I committed. So I asked, what was that sin? Sufyan said, I saw a man weeping. And I said, this man is weeping and he is showing off in his weeping. Because of that sin, judging another person, for 5 months I was deprived of reading Tahajjud prayers. So this is a reality and something that we really need to be so careful, but yet far from careful.
Well, another message that says that this person saying that they found themselves sometimes guilty of judging other people, but they don't do it as much as they used to. And the one thing that they've realized, they say that whenever they make a judgment of others, they take a step back and they remind themselves, and they find that we usually will judge other people in the areas where we feel the weakest. It's something that is bothering us, so that's why we make a judgment about other people.
Just say that again. I didn't get that.
They say that this person saying that they used to have this habit of judging people, but they don't do it as much as, you know, they used to, and they're still trying to become better and stop doing it. But they say that whenever they would find themselves judging someone, they would just remind themselves of this truth that we'll usually judge someone in the areas where we feel the weakest. So it's something that we feel threatened about, so we'll judge other people on that.
Yeah, and someone has said, this is so important. I hope that's why I started off my bayan in the program in a particular way. Well, the younger generation is so difficult to discuss anything. If we use an action of people we know as example, they say we are judging. If we say read salat, be kind to family, basically any advice, they say we mustn't judge. Now, this is very important. Therefore, I said, Islam is complete. Good and bad has been completed. Vice and virtue has been determined. You can't judge that an action is right or wrong. If someone is lying, it's wrong. If someone is not reading namaz, it's wrong. If someone is reading salat, it's right. Because these actions have been determined by Allah. What we can't do is we cannot say if he's doing that, he's a jahannami. Or if a person is necessarily doing something that is right, he is definitely going to Jannah. We can't judge that. But an act, what is right and wrong, that has been clearly defined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even if a person is very apparently very pious, we don't have the right to say that he is going to Jannah 100%, because we don't know. We don't know, and that is why it's so important for us to get the right balance. Right and wrong has been determined, but judging a person, that is something that we cannot do. Or regarding yourself superior, you can't do, because you don't know. Your good deeds is only of benefit for you if Allah accepts it. And no one has got a guarantee that Allah has accepted his good deeds. When we go to some place, we give some form of payment, we get a receipt. You have paid. Anyone has ever got a receipt that his deeds have been accepted by Allah Ta'ala? No one has got. We don't know. Therefore, when we finish our salat, we read this. We say, Astaghfirullah. And we don't know whether Allah Ta'ala is accepted or not. Therefore, we say astaghfar. So I think it's very important for us to get the right balance.
Another message that has come through, it's a quote that they've shared with us. They say that before you assume, you should learn. Before you judge, try to understand. And before you say anything, think before you speak.
Very important. Mm. And I think one of the things that I'm going to carry on with this, because it's such an important thing, is don't judge a person by his past. Don't judge a person by his past, because you don't know. You know, you don't know what the situation is. So, for example, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu set out to assassinate Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Can there be a greater sin than that? Can there be a greater sin than this particular aspect? And yet today, he is buried next to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Umar fil Jannah. He set out to kill Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to assassinate Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, he is buried next to our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does it tell us? It tells us such a great thing, that don't judge a person by his past. You don't know what the situation is going to be. What a great thing. And I think it's important for us to remember this all the time.
And while speaking about the life of Umar radiallahu anhu, he was that Sahabi that he never regarded himself also superior to others, even though he was given glad tidings of Jannah. He was the Amirul Mu'mineen, but then too he had this fear that I shouldn't be amongst those that are the hypocrites.
Yes, and every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Every sinner has a future, no matter how much sins you have committed. Remember this, no matter how many sins you have committed, your future is ma'asum, your future is untainted, your future is innocent, no matter how many sins you have committed. So I think it's an important thing for us to realize.
Yeah, whatever the past may be, by making tawbah and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you, a person can reach high stages as well. Malala, there's a question that has come through from one of the listeners saying that we don't judge anyone, we don't know what their situation is, but can we judge a person's success on the way that they pass away, or the place that they pass away, or the time, or the city that they pass away in?
We can't take glad tidings. We can take good omens, and we can say that given this, inshallah, things will be happy for him. Like, for example, a person passes away on Friday. There's a hadith that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said he will be saved from the adab of the qabr. Or if he says something, if he goes with iman. So yes, there is that. But just to give an example, how sometimes it can also be not 100% foolproof. Tariqayyab Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, the founder and rector of Darul Uloom Deoband, has written a statement, and has written an incident which has been published. And in that particular, he said that there was a non-Muslim person who was sweeping the in Darul Uloom Deoband. He used to be a sweeper. He used to look after and he used to clean the toilets, etc. And after he passed on, someone saw him that he was in Jannah. So I said, Lalaji, what, you in Jannah? He said that, before I passed away, that statement you people say, which is the statement of faith, he couldn't even bring it up openly in the dream. He said, that particular statement, I read it before I passed away. Now, apparently, what did it seem? That he died in a particular way. Who knows? Allah knows. So, yes, if there is some good signs, it's a good omen, and we are supposed to take that good omen, and we hope, inshallah. Like, for example, it is said, if you see a person in a dream and he's wearing white or green clothes, we take a good omen. But at the end of the day, Allah is the one who judges. We can take a good omen, but Allah Ta'ala is the one that judges that.
Continue to send through your messages, 0727861548. That is our WhatsApp number. We're speaking about judging and regarding ourselves superior to others. The lines are also open on 011-854-1548. Malana, you can continue.
Yes, another thing is, don't judge a person by one act of weakness and one act of sin. This is so important for us to remember, that don't judge a person by one act of, don't judge a person by one act of his, right? There's so many examples of this, right? One of the most beautiful examples that I can give is such a beautiful example. Well, I'll give it. It'll take some time. If you need to stop me, just let me stop me. If anyone wants to give any particular reserve, wants to give a call with regard to the aspect of judging, or has got a suggestion or a message, of course, the lines are open. And the WhatsApp line is also open, 0727861548. Abu Mahjan was one of the companions of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Initially, he was not a Muslim. He fought in one or two battles against the Muslims. Then he became a Muslim, right? And he was a very, very fearsome warrior. He was a very good fighter in the battlefield. But he had a weakness, right? His weakness was he had an addiction to drinking alcohol, right? And he was one or two times punished because of that. But he had this weakness. So he went out with the Muslims to Al-Qadisiyah as a mujahid seeking martyrdom in the battlefield. In Qadisiyah, he also took to alcohol. So Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Muslim general, put him under captivity. In Islam, we don't look upon alcohol as something that is just very between an individual, he can do it or not. Now, obviously, we can't, we don't have the right to impose, but in Islam, there is a punishment for being drunk. There's a punishment for being drunk. And if that would have been implemented, so many of our accidents would have been stopped here in South Africa. But anyway, that's a different matter. So they put him under chain. He was put under lock and key. So then, while he was under lock and key, the battle started, right? And he was a fighter. He wanted to fight for Islam. He was sincere in that, although because he had a weakness. This was a very harsh punishment for him, which caused him a great deal of anguish. When he heard the sounds of swords and spears and the horses going into jihad, he knew jihad had begun. The gates of paradise were open. He had a longing to take part in jihad. He had a longing to fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sang such beautiful poetry in Arabic. It's sufficient sorrow when you see a person who is a mujahid, deprived, abandoned, and bound in shackles. While my fetters and my chains detain me, others are fighting. If I'm freed, I will never drink again. The wife of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, her name was Salma. She heard this poetry, so she said, let me go and see what's happening. She said, what's the problem? She said, I made a mistake. And I'm feeling regretful with regard to that mistake. Free me. Untie me. Unlock me my chains. I promise you that I will go and fight. If something happens to me, I get shaheed, I become martyred. Well, I became martyred. No one will tell you anything because they will say, listen, he did something so glorious. He went to go and sacrifice his life for the sake of Almighty Allah. And if I survive at the end of the day, I promise you, I will come back myself here and I will tie myself up without you telling me. I will do it myself. Salma, radiallahu ta'ala anha, felt a little bit of, pity for him, and she freed him. Now, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was on this particular battlefield. He was supervising the battlefield. He was overlooking it. Now, a general many times sit there and he goes and sees and he goes into that particular place where there's a need. So he supervises the entire battle. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, all of a sudden saw in one direction there's a person who is just creating havoc in the ranks of the enemy. Wherever he goes, he just, lays a swath of all of those people who are fighting against, he just tearing them apart. The enemies have been completely, taken aback by the bravery of this person. And Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu said, now who is this person from amongst our side, from amongst the believers, who is creating such great havoc in the ranks of the enemy? Then he thought that maybe this looks like Abu Mahjan. And he said, but if Abu Mahjan was not in any way detained by me, and he was not in chains, I would have said that this is Abu Mahjan. But I put him under chain. I had put him under captivity. This can't be Abu Mahjan. But he looks like Abu Mahjan. So Saad bin Abi Waqqas couldn't make up his mind, and he said, I don't know what's happening. This seems to be such an amazing thing. So, but wherever he went, he changed the nature of the battle because of his bravery. And Allah Ta'ala gave him land, life. The entire day went in that particular way. He came back at night and he chained himself. As he came back, as he had promised, he put himself back again in chains. At night, Saad bin Abi Waqqas related to Salma and said that today there was a person who was so brave. He was so brave. If it wasn't that I had chained Abu Mihjan, I would have said it was Abu Mihjan. So Salma radiallahu ta'ala told Saad bin Abi Waqqas, I must admit, he was crying and he was singing this poetry, and I felt him ashamed, and I unlocked him and I freed him. It was Abu Mihjan. So Saad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala immediately went to him. And he said, what did you do? He said, I wanted to fight in the path of Allah. And Saad bin Abi Waqqas said, such bravery, how can I keep you in detention? How can I keep you under lock and key? So he untied him. And Abu Mihjan, when he was untied, said, I take a qasam, Saad, from now onwards, I will never ever drink again. A drunkard, a person who took alcohol, was the hero of the day in Qadisiyah. A person who was a drunkard was the hero of the day in Qadisiyah. Who are we to judge? Who are we to judge? A person who was a drunkard, today what will we say? Huh? Subhanallah, what a great lesson. And I think it's important for us to remember this.
A few more messages that have come through on the WhatsApp line. Mullah one saying that when you judge people, it does not define who they are, but it defines who you are. It reveals more about yourself than other people.
Yes, I've read that also somewhere during the course of doing some research. I gave a bayan on this last week, Friday, which is on the SoundCloud, and anyone can also request it. But it is something that is important for us. And someone, while I was doing this, I saw some of the quotations, and this was one of the quotations that I had also seen. It doesn't define the person, it defines you in many ways, Chuzan.
Continue to send through your messages, 072-786-1548. The lines are also open on 011-854-1548. Maya, can continue?
We cannot judge the year after or the Jannat and Jahannam of anyone. Remind ourselves of an immoral woman whom Nabi Karim s.a.w. said entered Jannah because of a small deed or apparent small deed of giving water to a thirsty dog. Or take the other example, the pious Mong Barsisa, whom Allah has made mention of in the Holy Quran, who worshipped for 300 years or 500 years according to another narration, and he ended up making sijda to shaitan. He died as a disbeliever. So who are you to judge a person who will go to Jannah or Jahannam? A woman who was a woman of not a credible reputation, she goes to Jannah because Allah Ta'ala liked one deed of hers, of giving water to a thirsty dog, and Allah Ta'ala granted a Jannah. Who are you to say someone is going to go to Jannah or Jahannam? Allah Ta'ala might like one good deed of a person despite all his faults. And Allah Ta'ala, despite your piety, in Sahih Muslim, there's a hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Qamar al-Zaman Sahib, in his kitab, I'tirafe Dhunub, has emphasized upon this and written many, many pages on this, that a person, in Sahih Muslim, the hadith that Nabi Karim SAW said, a person told another person who was a sinner that you will not go to Jannah. And when he made this call, Allah's rahmat came to the fore. And Allah said, who is there who made this judgment on my behalf? Who is there who made this judgment on my behalf? I take an oath that the person whom you are taunting, I will put him in Jannah. And you who made this judgment that that person is going to Jahannam, I'll put you in Jahannam. So we don't have this right to tell who's going to go to Jannah and who's going to go to Jahannam. Unfortunately, some people take that particular authority. That is the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ma, another message that has come through, and I think that there's a number of listeners that have sent through this message, saying that it's sad that we see in today's time, you know, the names that people call other people and so on, and this is something that we should really stay away from.
Yeah, it is unfortunate with regard to that. Yeah, so you know we also it's so important for us. It's so amazing, and I think we need to get the right balance. Remember, by we saying the Dozen Power Judgment doesn't mean we are not saying that there are clear cut definitions of right and wrong. But on those definitions, we don't have the right to say a person is a Jannati or Jahannami, or we don't have the right to call a person successful or failure because that is in the hands of Almighty Allah. A person's actions can be right and wrong. But because of that, what is going to happen to him, how Allah will deal with him, that's not our responsibility. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, a woman from Juhayna was stoned for committing adultery. Right? After the stoning, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed her janazah. Umar radiallahu ta'ala found it strange. Ya Rasulullah, you're going to offer the janazah of someone who has done such a great evil, you know, or done something that is wrong. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Umar, she made such tawbah that if it was divided among 70 people of Medina, it would have been sufficient for her. Had you found any repentance better than this, that she sacrificed her life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to go and perform her janazah. Huh? So we don't have this particular situation of being amongst those who make these particular type of judgments on people going to Jannat or going to Jahannam.
Ma, just a few minutes left of the program. Anything else Ma wants to add on?
Yes, I think also don't be hasty to judge a person by an apparent circumstances. A Muslim sister enters a public transport and sits in the front passenger seat despite other seats being vacant, and she sits next to her, to a male. A Muslim brother walks past the masjid when the azan has been called out and he doesn't enter the masjid to pray. Another, you go and greet another person, assalamu alaikum, and that person doesn't return the greeting. Immediately we will form judgments. So how can the sister go and sit next to a non-mahram? How can this Muslim brother, after azan, walk out of the masjid or walk past the masjid? How can this person, I greeted him, assalamu alaikum, didn't return my salam? Right? Now, we can easily make a particular type of situation and make a call. But the Muslim sister goes into the front seat because her husband is sitting there. The Muslim brother walking past the masjid doesn't enter it because he read namaz in another masjid which was earlier. Right? The person whom you greeted with assalamu alaikum, they cannot hear properly, didn't hear your salam. But we look at the... You know, we looked at the apparent situation and we made a call. So in this particular regard, in conclusion, let me say, good and bad has been defined. We can say what is right and what is wrong. But we cannot judge with regard to whether the person who is doing the right will be accepted by Allah, will go to Jannah, and the person who is done wrong, Allah will definitely punish him. Maybe Allah will forgive him. Maybe Allah Ta'ala, he might have asked for forgiveness. The wrong will be wrong. But he might have asked for forgiveness. Allah might forgive him. So we cannot judge a person with regard to that particular matter. We cannot in any way judge the iman of a person in which he is sincere or not sincere, as I gave the example of Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala. We cannot judge a person by his past. Umar radiallahu ta'ala went to go and set out to kill Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, look at his situation. Don't judge a person by one act of weakness, as we gave the example of Abu Mahjan. And don't judge a person or hasten to judge a person by an apparent circumstances. And we cannot judge the year after whether a person is going to Jannah or Jahannam. These are some of the lessons that I have tried to convey in today's program.
Jazakumullah khairan, Malana, for the lovely program and one message that has come through from the listener, and that says that we do not judge people, that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who makes the decision of whether people will be successful in the year after or not. That is not our job. But lovely program, Malana, Jazakumullah khairan for sharing with us the insight into this topic. And to the listeners, the podcast will be available later on. You can check our social media handles and our website to listen to the program. Jazakumullah khairan, Malana, and we'll speak to you next week, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That brings us to the end of the program this week. It's now time for the 10 a.m. news bulletin. After that, you'll be in the company of Apa Amara. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.